Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY13 earnings conference call of NIIT Limited. As a reminder for duration of the conference, all participants' lines are in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. At this time, I would like to hand over the conference to Mr. Vijay Thadani. Thank you, and over to you, sir. Sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, and welcome to this Q3 FY13 results call. First of all, thank you very much for being here with us. Just wanted to say a couple of things before I get into the details. First, that we are discussing the quarter three of fiscal 13 and third quarter of the year is typically the lowest quarter in our financial year, given the seasonality of business, and that has been the trend for last many, many years. The second issue which I wanted to say was that this year, in the financial results, whenever we are referring to comparisons, we are referring to the comparisons on a continuing business basis, given the fact that last year in this quarter till 14th of October, we had one of our subsidiaries, Element K, with us, and we had divested our stake in Element K for $110 million on 14th of October. And those numbers are not visible in comparisons as far as comparisons are concerned. So those are two things which I would just like you to keep track of. As usual, I would start with a coverage of the environment before I dive into the results. The environment, I think, to say in very simple words, has been challenging and continues to remain challenging. We discussed the same last quarter as well. In some areas, the challenge is even more pronounced than before. On the other hand, a weak environment also offers opportunities, and therefore those are also visible, and I'll talk about those. So our economy is headed for the lowest growth in a decade. We know that, weighed down by global and local factors. However, recent forecasts are also that maybe in the coming year, the economy will look up. The immediate impact as far as our business is concerned is on the is through the hiring sentiment, where there is a sharp weakening across sectors. The net employment outlook has fallen by 18 percentage points or 1,800 basis points to 27% year-over-year. And this decline is also the sharpest amongst all countries. More specifically, as far as IT sector is concerned, slower volume growth and the attempts to increase utilization as well as combined with low attrition of existing staff continue to have a massive impact on the hiring plans. We in fact did an analysis of 8 companies whose numbers were available. The hiring, net hiring, has gone down by as much as 46% in the 8 companies that we surveyed. In fact, this morning, yesterday there was one more company where it has, net hiring has in fact been negative. So the hiring in IT sector has definitely been under a lot of challenge. And this is at the back of large number of appointment letters for which joining dates are still awaited. So all this has a very adverse impact on the consumer sentiment, and that becomes visible in our front offices where people come to register for training programs. Despite the fact that our placement rates have been fairly good, and I'll share those with you in the coming few minutes, I think the sentiment drives a lot of people away from IT, and I think that's one of the challenges. for a company like us, which was in a transition in moving from long-term to short-term duration courses, more job-oriented courses, now that the job-oriented courses itself are affected by consumer sentiment or were affected by consumer sentiment, definitely put a pressure on an important part of our business. Having said that, the non-IT sectors in relative sense have done better. Banking has been looking up with more private bank licenses coming up. I think our product has shown its superiority, and therefore we have benefited from that. In the private schools area, private schools are increasingly adopting new technology and products to differentiate themselves and meet the shortage of teachers as well as some of the pressures of RTE, which have now come up on the schools. In fact, enrollment in private sector schools is also being very attractive. So therefore, that remains an attractive market and we are growing there. The most interesting part of this quarter has been our corporate engagements, where we find that NIITs established, first of all, corporates are looking at a greater focus on driving effectiveness and efficiency through partnering with specialized training firms. This was evident from the large number of RFPs which were visible to us, just us as a company. And if I go extrapolate that, I would say a large number of corporates are looking at using the services of specialist training firms. We had a comparatively better share in terms of success within those RFPs, and I'll discuss those. So the headline is pronounced business challenges continue, many of them causing adverse impact on business, but many times business challenges also result in opportunities. So given the portfolio of businesses we are in, overall the impact gets partly neutralized. Our response to the global challenges has been the four growth platforms. And in addition to the financial results, I always give a scorecard on where the four growth platforms are. I once again want to reiterate that this quarter has once again proven that we are absolutely right on the strategy of having chosen these four, as is visible in the results in each one of them. Cloud Campus has received very good acceptance from our customers. We now have 24,000 enrollments. And as we discussed, the program was to roll this out to all the programs of NIIT. And while that is a very arduous process, we have been able to convert five of the existing large programs onto the cloud offering. We have this quarter also implemented the synchronous learning platform, which will create an ability for any student to do any course at any center. Once it is fully implemented, which is a tremendous flexibility available to the students. So in terms of our offering convenience and flexibility as well as the superior quality of learning, I think Cloud Campus is contributing a great deal. And once implemented, it has a dramatic impact on our variable cost structure as well, positive impact. On corporate, the managed training services, which is our second growth platform, we have had the maximum success. Now nearly 70% of our corporate business is coming out of on this platform. We have 13 global customers. We have added 6 new deals this quarter, 3 of those from new customers, 1 from a large technology giant, one from a global bank, and one from a large consulting firm. Three very interesting sectors. Well, technology we've always been strong in. Bank is a welcome addition, and a consulting firm is also a welcome addition to the segments that we cover. This has contributed to increased order intake that, aside, our revenue visibility has increased to $134 million. And, of course, in revenue terms, this business has grown very attractively by 23% on a year-on-year basis, the managed training services portion of the corporate learning solutions business. In schools, the NGuru strategy is rolling out well. We added 137 new schools. Total 609 schools have been added in this year, which is nearly the level at which, or just short 95% or 92% of the levels at which we were last whole year, which means this year we'll definitely have a growth over that. The acceptance is good, and the more interesting part is an upsell opportunity which we created of getting the students to also use NGuru platform at home. This has a phenomenal opportunity given the large number of students that we are servicing. So again, a very successful platform. Yuva Jyoti skills platform, though it's in a capacity building stage at this point of time, we have had 26 operational centers, and this quarter itself we had 1,500 enrollments. So that takes the total to 3,300 enrollments CYD, which again is on a strong footing with 74% placements. So our identification and support of these four growth platforms is really working in the right direction. However, given the business conditions, especially in the IT sector, we do have to take the brunt of the slowdown in hiring in our IT training business. Because other than that, everything else has grown not only well, but very well this quarter. So corporate learning solutions, revenues are up 14% year-on-year. EBITDA margin has improved from 10% to 12% on a continuing business basis. And even on a quarter-on-quarter terms, in dollar terms, 11% growth in quarter-on-quarter shows the new orders stepping in into a small way. High growth in the managed training services has continued with 23% growth year-on-year. And now MTS is 70%. So it's interesting to see how we have transformed our whole corporate learning solutions from a project-driven business to an annuity revenue-based driven, 70% of the business being driven from there. So I would say the most successful part of the transformation strategy. School learning solutions, the overall revenues have grown 35% year-on-year. Non-GSA private schools have grown 13%. We added 137 schools during the quarter. Again, want to remind, we have taken a policy decision not to get into any more government schools till the situation on payments and other issues to do with government get resolved at a policy level. So we have not been accepting any new orders and have even maintained that same stance. So other than the continuing orders, we have nothing else which is happening. And continuing orders are also closing down, I think, in the foreseeable future, in quarter one of next year and quarter two of next year. We have two large contracts closing, which will then reduce the cash burn on that as well. In individual learning solutions, we really had a challenge in our IT training part of the business, but the overall, since that is in many ways the largest component, the revenue has been down 22%, which is very strong, even by our own measurement and our own expectations. The overall enrollments are 75,000 this quarter and have contracted by 21%. However, there are a few positive signs within this large picture. The short-term technology courses grew 9% year-on-year. However, they contribute only 10% to the overall kitty. China revenue grew by 36%. China also contributes about 10%. And career enrollments in banking have grown by 33% year-on-year. However, the implementation of that in terms of revenues will be discovered in the coming few quarters. Now, while on placements, we are down 6% year-on-year, but compared to a 46% drop in hiring, on one hand to be compared, then a 6% drop in our placements, and not at a small volume, but 8,879 NIT graduates being placed, I think is something to sit up and look at. because it basically shows the acceptance of NIIT offerings on one hand, but on the other, it also shows that employers are still looking for people with specific skill sets if they can get, and generic skills are getting replaced with specific advanced skills. Wherever we are able to do that, we are able to get the placement message across. Skills building solutions, I mentioned 26 centers are operational with addition of 5 centers during the quarter and enrollments ramping up to 1,500. I had mentioned at the beginning of the quarter that we are in challenging times, and we had 2 or 3 responses to the challenging environment. One of them was strong cost management. Cost management has been implemented, and we had talked of reducing our fixed cost structure by 10-odd%. In fact, we have been able to realize 9% or so if we were to take the impact of the spend on achieving those 9% aside, which means we will get that benefit in coming quarters. And we do have this quarter also to continue with the cost management program, and therefore we expect that fixed cost structure will reduce even more. The second part was to reduce our variable cost structure, which we have been able to achieve through better product mix in our career building or individual learning solutions. However, in an overall sense, the benefit, real benefit, will come through the cloud campus full implementation, and we are slowly getting the benefits of those. Overall, the cost management initiatives benefited us to the extent of $55 million in this year, if I was to compare with the same quarter last year. On the other hand, the Forex loss did contribute a small portion of $20 million to our overall expense structure, as well as interest expenses, etc., contributed to reduction in profitability. But the EBITDA margins movement of 690 basis points adversely is essentially caused by the individual learning solutions or career building solutions, as we call them now. We've tried to explain the margin waterfall in a subsequent slide. Our margin has gone from 10.2 to 3.3% in this quarter. 3.1% is the impact of operating leverage. 3.6% is the impact of product and business mix. An adverse product mix would obviously result in a lower margin. 1.6% was the impact of cost inflation and increments. 0.7% was the impact of foreign exchange movement. But cost management initiatives resulted in recovery of 2.3%, which in many ways just kind of covers the impact of Forex as well as increments and cost inflation. Remember, we are trying to reduce the cost structure of a moving car where we have large number of students on rolls, and therefore this kind of a change itself, I think, is fairly dramatic in terms of cost structure. However, our revenue shortfall in especially the IT training part of the business has been more adverse, and therefore the net impact is a drop in margin. Our focus, as we can see, now 23% of our business is coming from corporates, 14% from schools, and individual is at 63%. Our India business has shrunk from 54 to 50% of the pie, and that benefit has essentially gone to US and Europe. In growth terms, I mentioned to you schools have grown 35% and corporate 14%. And in EBITDA terms, the contributors are schools and corporate. The consumers are individual and skill-building solutions. Skill-building solutions was expected because they are in a growth phase. Individual solutions, the drop has been more significant than what we had planned for. Going down one level to individual learning solutions, what are we doing about it? The drop I already explained. What we are doing about it is a three-pronged strategy. Number one is implementation of cloud campus, because that will ensure that we are able to derive the benefits of the strategy called One NIIT completely. Not only will we get the benefits in revenue, but we will get that revenue at a comparatively lower cost structure. The good news is that all the implementation capex has been nearly done. So there is hardly any capex to be done for the last leg. Now we are in the last mile in the implementation phase. And now about, for example, just to let you know, total 300 centers out of 500 are covered. About 100 centers are on a synchronous learning platform. And we are also making sure that at this time, in addition to the five programs which are already converted, there are more which should be done. And this is an exercise which is being done on a very, very fast pace. The second was to introduce new age IT products. We did have, and that's not visible in our numbers, by the way, we did participate in the Windows 8 launch and, in fact, trained 15,000 students during the quarter. However, we haven't taken those in our revenues because the revenue element of that was rather small, in fact, negligible, and we felt that that enrollment picture will discolor the real situation on the ground, so we purposely eliminated that in our count. And now we are introducing apps training and a number of other changes. The third part of the strategy is to introduce non-IT courses. If you've been keeping an eye on the press, then we have introduced applied financial management as one discipline, and the second, very recently, a digital marketing in collaboration with a very famous institute from Ireland who are kind of world leaders in this area. To give an impetus to IT becoming a favorite part of or an important career choice, we have partnered with NASSCOM and, in fact, are going to go aggressively. And the aim is to touch 100,000 students in engineering schools and colleges who are looking at computer science as a career and do a joint certification. We believe this will give an impetus to IT again bubbling up to be an important career. In the job market, IT continues to remain an important job an important sought-after job, but in comparative terms, I think the impact on IT is also the highest. During the quarter, our China revenue has gone up by 36%, and an interesting part was an MOU that we have signed in China's Hainan province with their National Development Reforms Committee, equivalent of our Planning Commission, where idea is to set up a large training facility as a part of a services SEZ. This is a project which is still under conception. We have only signed the MOU to be implemented. It's a very large project, and we will keep explaining you the future of that. So the MOU is with the Hainan province, and a project is funded by NDRC. School learning solutions. As I mentioned, non-GSA revenues are up 13%. Overall revenues are up 35%, which means GSA revenues have been up. I just want to clarify that that is just a milestone billing of one of the existing government projects and nothing to do with any new projects that we have added, and that's a policy decision that we have taken. Our collection drive on school learning receivables continued to be on a high. I had reported last quarter that we had met with moderate success, and I have to say the same thing this quarter also. We've been able to collect nearly as much as we build across all schools from government, so which is a fairly upward movement given the times, the challenging times which vendors are having in collecting money from government. Just to remind everybody, as you know, government is right now trying to manage the fiscal deficit, and therefore all payments and refunds are on kind of a hold. And within that, I think for us to get this money is even more important. Our pending order book has improved at 5,272 million, 26% is executable in next 12 months. And this is at the back of the fact that we have not participated in any government tenders. In fact, we were taking a stock. We have kind of stayed away from nearly 8,000 schools worth of tenders, but that's a conscious decision. Corporate learning solutions, where the continuing business basis comparison is more important, since Element K is not part, we've had a very good quarter. We got 6 new deals, as I mentioned, 3 new, one from a technology giant, one from a global bank, and one from a large consulting company. 2 expansions of existing deals, which reaffirms the customer faith in us and our quality of service, and 1 upgrade where we moved from a project-based relationship to a managed training services relationship. We figure and have been playing in the semifinals and finals of nearly all the RFPs, which is really interesting because there are many other large players in this business. To compete with them effectively, I think, is an important part of our strategy. Our order intake was $21.5 million this quarter, which is up 56% QOQ and 13% YOY. Our overall revenue visibility is at $134 million. Skill building solutions, I think the important part is not only the fact that we have been able to register as many students, but the overall placements are themselves 74%. Strengthening the balance sheet was a very important part of our this year's strategy. While the balance sheet does get affected by not so attractive results, or I would say poor results at the P&L level, but in terms of strengthening the balance sheet, I would like to say that for the first time in perhaps 10 years, our net fixed asset levels have come down, which means we have really put brakes on CapEx as far as growth CapEx or new project CapEx is concerned to strengthen the balance sheet. The second is on accounts receivables. While the numbers on the ground show that our accounts receivables may have increased marginally, I just thought I'll clarify, our closing accounts receivables are 4262. However, 4262 contain at least about 300 million of business in corporate learning solutions, where it is the last week billing, and this year the Christmas week was organized in a manner that most of the people were on leave, and therefore payments could not be processed. We have received many of those payments in the first 15 days. And if you exclude that, in other businesses, actually, the receivable levels have come down despite more revenue being added. So I think we have strengthened our bills receivable position. We have strengthened our inventory position. We've also strengthened our overall situation in terms of net fixed assets. Our net debt is higher at the end of the quarter at 733 million rupees. But if I consider the impact of the collections of the first 2 weeks, then perhaps we would start edging towards the levels of at which we were earlier. Contributed more by lack of profit than by lack of collections. on headcount, our headcount, net headcount, has reduced by 51 during the quarter. However, 51 doesn't tell the full story because 51 also has built into it Yuvajyoti expansion, which would have added people, as well as corporate learning solutions for their new business, who would have added some project-based people. If we were to look at in an overall sense over the last 12-month period, we have been able to reduce the headcount by 472. where the largest contribution has come from individual learning solutions. Going forward, as I mentioned, individual learning solutions is an important challenge that we have to look from an IT perspective. Our first attempt is ensure what's working, that we spend more energy on it, and that's banking and financial services, new age IT, and non-IT products. Second, ensure that cloud campus is fully implemented and the way so that we start deriving all the benefits of cloud campus. On IT itself, while like somebody pointed out recently, green shoots are visible, but it's too early to assume that IT sector would recover. In any case, IT sector's recovery, the first beneficiaries will be those who are holding offers with no joining dates. But I think that will definitely contribute to a positive sentiment. So we are looking at the quarter which has gone by also as a quarter which perhaps would, on hindsight, can be looked at as a quarter in which things bottomed out, because the positive sentiment should contribute to higher enrollment. However, in our plans, we are banking less on that and banking more on our new products as well as new strategies that we have in mind. Future direction in schools is to continue doing more in private schools and focus on IP and annuity-based revenues and improve the offering where we, in addition to a B2B model, we also started a B2B2C model, which will add an upsell opportunity to our existing opportunity set. In corporates, we have a very decent funnel. Our aim is to ensure that we achieve higher success rates and be able to deliver the current funnel and orders at higher and better margins. In the coming quarter, we have the 6 new projects to be implemented, and as we have mentioned in the beginning, sometimes the projects do have lower profitability. It's not in immediate, equally spread over the quarter, but we do believe that the volume will make up for that. So other than forex volatility, which we can't take into account, I think the outlook for corporate business remains on track. In summary, in individuals, we are aligning ourselves and transforming ourselves to look at the change market conditions. The number of changes taking place at simultaneously are many. However, we have a very strong team, and we are making good progress. However, the results of that progress are not visible, because sometimes what we are able to gain, there is a cost of achieving that gain that kind of hides the real benefit. But these things will start becoming clearer as we go through the next year. We had mentioned in the last quarter's call that next 2-3 quarters will be a challenging time for this business, and our ability to transform ourselves will really dictate the future. In corporate, we expect growth to continue unabated and at a faster pace as we go along. In schools also, the growing momentum should be taken advantage of. Skill building, capacity creation phase will continue given the large opportunity that we are cherishing. Overall, while our business is affected by the temporary squeeze in hiring by IT sector, we do believe IT sector will recover. Long-term prospects and fundamentals of our business remain very strong. We have very, very strong brand offering. We have very, very strong customer contact. We have a very, very strong customer loyalty. And we believe that with increasing enrollments in higher education, where gross enrollment ratios have gone up from 12.4% to 18.8% in the last few years itself, resulting in 50% increase in enrollment, and given the employability levels of graduates, our opportunity size remains very, very large. The important task in front of us is to rise to meet the challenges which the new opportunities throw and take advantage of them. So with that, we remain committed to the four platforms of growth in the context of current market realities, and we will consolidate our strength in the industry. With that, I open this for Q&A. I have all my colleagues, Mr. Pawar, the chairman of the company, Mr. Rajendran, chief operating officer, Raghavan, president of chief executive of the Career Building Solutions, Sapnesh Lala, chief executive of the Corporate Learning Solutions, Hemant Shetty, and Sanjay Behal, who represent schools and skill building solutions as presidents of their respective businesses, as well as my colleagues from finance and investor relations to answer all your questions. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very Operator. Much, sir. Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. As a reminder to all participants, please press star and one at this time to ask questions. We're going to take a first question from the line of Amar Maurya from India Nivesh Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sir, my question is not something related to the results. It is a slightly high-end question. What I want to understand here is that primarily on the individual learning solution, as we are addressing to the change and we are trying to diversify the individual learning solution business model from asset, you know, IT heavy to non-IT business. I mean, I just wanted to understand, are we looking something else to diversify this business, say from IT to non-IT, as few of our peers primarily into the education are into K-12 business kind of thing? So are we not looking into those kind of areas since we have the All India presence? I mean, I just wanted to understand from that perspective, I mean, is the management looking into entering into those kind of areas and trying to diversify the individual learning solution business?
Okay, so I will attempt and I'll ask my colleagues to contribute. First of all, in the K-12 space, we are looking at more interesting solutions for school children, which is being handled in another side of the business. In the individual learning business, our focus, as we call it, career building solution, our focus is to offer employability-based training. And anything which makes a person more employable at the end of higher education is what we are focused on. Just to let you know, this year, about 1.6 million students with professional degrees will graduate. And of this 1.6 million people, only 10 to 15%, and in case of engineers, maybe 20%, are considered employable. So a large chunk of them are looking or should be looking for professional training to aid them in getting into a career. Now, in the past, since IT was the favorite subject, a large percentage used to go for IT training. Given that IT is no longer, should I say, the hot favorite, and that situation is temporary, let me remind you, because at any given point of time, IT jobs will still be in excess of others. But since IT is not the hot favorite amongst youngsters right now, it is important that we meet their needs of what they think is best for their career. And that's the reason we are diversifying into other areas. We have been successful in that strategy, as is visible in banking, 33% growth, management, 19% odd growth. If you see, even in the new age IT, like apps development and stuff, we are looking at growth of, in terms of short-term programs, to the extent of 9%.
which will of course have both new age as well as the normal programs included, however. So that is the change in strategy that we are looking at. So this is one platform of growth, which we call Cloud Campus. Does that answer your question?
If your question is, in addition
to all that we are doing, are we looking at other areas of education? Then answer to that will be yes. However, no plans of the kind that have as of now fructified, because we are continuously looking at the education and training space and see what is the place where our core competency set can be best leveraged.
Okay, sir. So why I'm asking this question is that, the business model of primarily, job-oriented course is pretty much linked to the growth of the economy. And that is why whenever the economy faces the problem, there is a lumpiness in the revenue, in terms of that. So, which is...
You're very right.
That is why I believe there is a serious re-rating and de-rating which comes into the stock. That is what is my concern is. I was just looking for that.
You are so right. See, we also have to look for areas which are available in education, which are for profit, which are allowed for profit. So that is the space that we are looking at. One thing which is sure is that very much like, you need to diversify your risk. Since most of our eggs were in one basket called IT, diversification of that into other important segments, not to get fragmented, I think will be an equally important part of our strategy.
So one more question, if I'm allowed to ask. Since we are already developing a content for a school, and we are developing a high-end content for that. So are we not looking to enter into the models like what MT Educare is having, since the content is already developed? And secondly, on the other side, we already have a very good presence in all across India with 600 centers. So are we not looking into those kind of businesses also?
Definitely, those are opportunities that we are looking at this point of time, and this would take advantage of two of our businesses, or the capabilities in two of our businesses, and certainly that's an area which we are examining. Having said that, there are some firms such as the one that you referred to, who have actually come up through that route of remedial education. And I think the model that we would like to see, being new entrants, to be something superior to what is already happening rather than just be one of the pack. So that is how we would look at the position.
Okay, so meaning what I try to understand here is that, that is the kind of model we are looking for, say, coming in the future, or are we in the pipeline with something like that?
At this point of time, these are options under consideration. I do want to say one more thing. The choice is between in picking up the areas which are running well for us. So, for example, banking training. Banking training at this point of time is doing extremely well for us. And as you know, public sector banks as well as private sector banks, they are talking about adding nearly 5.5 lakh more people in the coming 2 or 3 years. Now, that's a huge training opportunity where our core competence match is 100%. We have a very strong brand, we have very strong acceptance, and we have a very strong track record.
So,
now, I think we would like to back that horse and on a Cloud Campus more than maybe the many other opportunities which would come up. So that's one of the responses which we have. This is not to say that we would not be looking at other areas in this process. Second, the corporates have started spending a decent amount even in India, though the numbers are very small, the corporate spend on IT, on training, not only just IT, but training, has been more in our own portfolio. So we are looking at what we are good at, what we are doing well, and what is being accepted well and required in larger quantities by our customers. So that focus is important.
Yes, sir. So I agree with this. And thing is the banking course is really a good move in terms of that. But then only thing is that, you know, what I understood probably, you know, I might be wrong in understanding and interpreting this. Because what I see here is that, I mean, there will be a good requirement from the public sector banks for the, you know, trained employees. But then thing is if I see the criteria on which bank, public sector banks actually choose their employees through their own exams, right? So that is one constraint where, I mean, obviously there is a pent-up demand coming up from the private sector bank, and probably the new license coming into the frame, the new banking license coming into the frame, there will be a lot of demand which will be coming from that side of the business. But then what was my understanding here is, what I was trying to understand here is that, you know, I just wanted to look, I mean, the business model which is less cyclical to the economy, or, you know, kind of stable model which...
Or something which is in contrary to the changes in the economy.
Yes.
Have a balanced portfolio, most certainly. So I guess creating an annuity-based revenue set and a commitment is one answer to this question. So that, you know, temporary swings in economy are not affecting our business.
Correct, sir.
Of the changes. So thank you very much for your suggestions. I mean, most certainly we are looking at all possibilities and definitely would consider those.
Yeah, thank you, sir. And congratulations for winning 6 deals in the corporate learning solution segment.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much for your kind comments. The overall, otherwise the results are not very encouraging, even for us. So thank you for this positive compliment.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We're going to take a next question from the line of Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Market Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Now, in case of the school learning solution, are you planning to sell the software to school students per se? I mean, you said something like that.
I mentioned that, and that's a very interesting opportunity. We have already started. See, once we got the whole curriculum on the cloud,
okay,
we are now going back to the schools and saying, well, you know, your students would like to access these at home as well.
Right.
So, and their parents would also like to know what their child is going through, which otherwise they could see through the books.
Right.
So, and that is gaining momentum. So, we just started that offering end of last quarter, and the initial response is very encouraging. So, that's one of the thrust areas for us. And as you can see, that's on marginal cost, a very, very attractive opportunity.
So, let me try to understand it right. Suppose I have my daughter going to school, which is running this MGuru software. Do I need to buy a software for my child, or how the, what exactly
would
happen?
So what you would do is, so just to give you this in, I mean, just a few seconds only.
Right.
If your daughter is going to a school and that school is an NGuru part of the NGuru solution, they are running an NGuru solution, because that's where the effectiveness will be the highest.
Mm-hmm.
And we would tell the school, that here is a pack, and if any of your students would like to buy a subscription, you can check with your parents and to your schools, and at a very small cost, they can get this subscription. Because that cost, see, the majority of the cost of whatever is happening, the school has already borne.
Right.
But it's an additional revenue for both the schools and therefore us. And the parents like it. Because parents and students can then revise exactly on that basis. Now,
right.
The way the software is designed is the student will get access to exactly where they were in the class.
Okay.
And not the whole world. It's like no point giving him class 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 12 books just because they are available in soft form. So the student will get gradual access as the class makes progress. So there is an intelligent linkage between the class progress, the student's progress in that class and the software, and the parent and the child can see it together in school.
Okay, so, have you already started rolling this out?
It is rolled out. It is being rolled out as we speak.
Can this be a significant revenue earner 3 years down the line?
Yes. We have 6 million children covered by this program.
6 million? By Enguru only?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Do you have some more questions, Mr. Poddar?
That's it.
Thank you. We're going to take our next question from the line of Ganesh Shetty.
I'm sorry, I said 600,000. No, I mean, maybe I said 600,000 is what I should have said, Mr. Poddar. My apologies. Not 6 million. Yeah.
Thank you. We're going to take our next question from the line of Ganesh Shetty, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
An opportunity. Sir, I have one question regarding our MTS business. Are we targeting Indian multinational companies or big corporate houses as far as this part of our business is concerned, sir?
Yes. To start with, we had started looking at global companies because that's the best way to stabilize this business. Mm-hmm. Many of those global companies have their Indian arms, and those are already our clients. And now we are adding, we are looking at adding more as well. I'll ask Mr. Sapnesh Lala to also say a few words.
Yeah, I think I would echo what Vijay mentioned, that in the initial phase, we would look at organizations who are already our customers and have significant Indian operations, and then post that, start looking selectively at organizations who might gain advantage from our services in India.
As we sold our lemon cake business, now as far as the U.S. markets are concerned, our corporate business must have been substantially decreased. Are we targeting our old lemon cake customers for that sake, or all new customers we are targeting? Or last time we have mentioned regarding our arrangements with Skillsoft Corporation, so how that is going on further, sir? Can you please throw some light on this, sir?
Firstly, to answer, I guess, the first part of your question, which, if I understood it right, was, are we targeting Element K customers? I think the demographic of Element K customers was such that they would look at 1,000 corporations in the United States, and on a similar basis in Europe. We work in a more selective way where our transaction sizes for each organization is substantially larger than what Element K was. And consequently, we look at a much smaller number of customers and try to do more business with each one of them, which is different from the Element K model. I think your second question was, how is our relationship with Skillsoft? I think the Skillsoft relationship is working well, and within the bounds of our confidentiality agreement, I think that's about all that I can say.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes.
Hello? So my next question is regarding the JV which have recently done at China. And, how much time it will take it to convert into revenues, or it will be a very long-term contract with the company? Can you please explain it, sir? Because there is a very, very, very low, feedback from such this JV. Exactly, we all investors want to know how much revenue visibility is there in a year or so. Can you please explain this, sir?
Okay, this is Rahul, and thank you for the question. First of all, the Hainan is not a JV. It is a memorandum of understanding to work with the local government to do IT and other skill training in Hainan. It's got two parts. One is a smaller center part. When I say smaller, it is smaller only compared to an average small center in India. in China, every center is relatively large. So the first of these, the first, that is the first part, and we have already started the center, and the first set of students are getting enrolled and so on. The one which there was reported in the press is a much larger potential engagement. We have signed it with the Hainan Provincial Organization, and this particular venture or initiative is supported by China's NDRC, which is an equivalent of India's Planning Commission equivalent. Now, this project is a very large project. We are going to work with that government to help them establish what is called as a knowledge city. And of course, our part of this transaction will be to train large number of people in that province. It will involve setting up of centers. It will involve training students inside of colleges and multiple formats of engagement. We are still working with them to delineate the whole landscape of this, both in terms of the scope as well as in terms of size. So I don't have a number to report at the moment, but this is a very large multi-formatted engagement. So as we go through the scoping of it and the sizing of it, we will surely be in a better position to give you visibility of what this scale is all about.
Should we move on?
Mr. Shetty, do you have some more questions?
One question.
Mr. Shetty, there's some disturbance from your line. If you can speak up louder.
Hello? Can you listen to me, sir?
Yes.
Yeah. Sir, my next question is regarding our IT training segment, IT ILS business. Now, you know, it is contributing around 60% of our business. And with the all initiative you have taken, and with we are more moving towards in right direction in corporate learning services and other ILS business like banking and finance, can we bring it down to around 40% of our overall business mix in the next year to come, sir, or one and a half years time? Can you please give some idea regarding this, sir?
Sir, Raghavan, I will request you. Actually, he is changing his portfolio just to answer one liner. To improve the portfolio in a more diversified manner between IT and non-IT.
Thank you for the question. I would not like to answer it in terms of what will be the proportion in the whole revenue, because as you have heard, we are doing many things to augment growth in the various segments. So let me speak specifically to what I think you are referring to as the career building solutions group. Yes, in the near term that we can see, there will be challenges in the IT training part of it in its entirety. But we have identified what we call as new age IT skills, in which we have launched some products. We have a slew of products on the anvil which we will launch. And that will go for students who are seeking employability in this, as well as lateral training, which also has been tracking very well. Now, this is from an IT perspective. The most important thing that we have started doing is to also enable ourselves for training in other domains. Banking finance is one such, which I think we have been speaking about that in the previous calls, and Vijay also spoke about it. What is new is new domains that we have hitherto not been there, but there is a need for youngsters to get skilled and find jobs with, such as applied finance, a course which we have launched in the last quarter. The early signs are good, and we are going to further launch it for the graduate segment as well. Then digital marketing is another course. Similarly, we have got focused employability programs, as well as a few more programs that we have identified, which we will be launching in due course. So the idea is to skill the youngsters in employability aligned with the job market that exists both in IT, banking and other domains. And to enable us to do this fast, two fundamental efforts that have been on. One is Cloud Campus, which we started talking about from last year onwards. It will make it easy for us to offer multiple programs in various centers quickly. The second is one NIIT. Rather than each center being an IT training center, each center will be a center where students can come, graduates can come, find out what is their aptitude and take training in that. So cloud and one NIIT with focus on multiple domains for employability training is in summary the focus going forward.
Thank you very much, sir. That's all from me, sir. Thanks a lot. And all the best, sir.
Thank you. We're going to take a last question. That's from the line of Jayan Dang from JHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I have just a few questions. Like the new initiative that you have taken up, like the digital marketing course and the initiative along with NASCOM. So when are the new initiatives likely to contribute to the revenues? That's the first question. And my second question would be, looking at the environment, what would be your outlook for next couple of quarters, both domestically and internationally, sir?
Okay. So I will request Mr. Raghavan to talk about the NASCOM and digital marketing, the potential.
Okay. So the NASCOM, the tie-up is for a set of courses that have been developed with some leading IT and BPO companies in the country,
yeah.
Along with NASCOM. And what we have done is to sign up an agreement with NASCOM so we can actually go to colleges and offer these courses to students in the colleges.
Yes, sir.
As you may be familiar from our earlier conversations, we have an institutional alliances business which actually is facing colleges, going into colleges and setting up synchronous learning platform centers and classrooms.
Yeah.
To be able to deliver training in those classes. So this arm of our organization will take this, and right from this quarter onwards, you will find us going to colleges and offering these courses. Now, what is the good thing about it?
Yeah.
The good thing about it is that since the courses are developed in conjunction with NASCOM and some of the industry members, there is no question about the suitability of these courses to the employers.
Yeah.
As it is, our courses and our training methodology has proven itself, as you see in the large number of placements.
Mm-hmm.
And this will add one more endorsement to the confidence of colleges and the students to be able to do this. So this is the first of the two points which you had mentioned.
Yes, sir.
Of course, we had talked about a target of 300,000 students over the next 3 years. 100,000 students over the next 3 years,
yeah.
Starting with about 30,000 in the first 12 months. So that is the kind of target that we're talking about.
Okay.
Second thing about digital marketing is,
yeah,
if you look at marketing today, it is so all pervasive that there cannot be a marketing professional who is not an expert or who is not familiar or is not using digital marketing.
Right.
So we have identified this as a very important broad purpose skill that is required in the market,
yeah.
Both for new students of marketing as well as existing working professionals. So we shopped around and have tied up with the best name in the world,
yeah.
The Digital Marketing Institute in Ireland,
mm-hmm.
And we will be launching the courses later from this quarter onwards.
Okay.
And we've got multiple levels of products that is associated there, so that's the other thing that we will do.
Yeah.
We think that there is a phenomenally large potential.
Yes, sir.
We need to segment the customer group between students, fresh graduates and working professionals,
yeah.
And offer courses that are appropriate to that level and go forward with it. So these are some commentary on the two points you raised.
So what I was thinking regarding this DMI is, would it be suitable to consider also from the CLS aspect? Once you build your expertise in this marketing training, I guess if you go B2B as well, you would also find a significant amount of, say, demand among the corporates to give marketing training, and how would that proposition sound to you, sir?
Well, you're absolutely right. Existing working professionals approach through B2B arm,
yeah.
is definitely one more way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
As you may be familiar, some of the higher-end technology training that we currently do,
okay.
is a sort of a B2B2C model in the sense that we do talk to corporates and individuals actually come and get trained.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So that is a good model, and your thought is absolutely very valid.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. And the second point, sir, about the outlook. How does the outlook for a few quarters look from the company's perspective?
So, as you can see, that the corporate learning solutions and school learning solutions are on a fairly steady track, and you can see that the growth in both corporate and schools has been consistent. In some quarters you would see a peak, but I think if you draw an average, that's where it is. Corporate is growing at 18 to 20%. Right now it's a bit ahead of that. That's because it was a very good quarter, but I'm just saying typically 18 to 20%. So 18 is the focus that we have for corporate in next 3 years, that we should stabilize at 18% growth and 18% margin. Similarly, in schools, our focus has been that we should stabilize at something like 20-odd percent growth and about 15 to 20% margin. Again, that since it's in transition, we are going through that phase. I think in individual learning solutions, the parts which are growing very well, they are unfortunately small and do not contribute as much to the main kitty. But as they grow in size, I think they'll start becoming significant. So the real call that one has to take, and that, by the way, is a difficult call to make in the current challenging times, is to how the IT sector will behave. Now, IT sector, from given the results of these two or three large results that have come in, whether HCL, at least it appears that the situation has bottomed out. And they have been taking advantage of increased utilization levels rather than increased recruitment levels if you look at their net hiring trend. And if that is the case, then very soon the utilization would reach a ceiling. And they would have to start hiring again in large numbers if they continue with this growth. Now, that's the assumption with, on the basis of which we believe that by, and the minute their hiring starts, the sentiment will turn for positive, because people are now hanging on to appointment letters for very long periods of time. And it is fairly demoralizing for a student to spend 15, 20 lakhs to finish engineering. And as soon as this positive sentiment happens, I think we will start seeing the impact in the consumer space as well. Meanwhile, through advanced training, new age training, non-IT sectors which are there, we would try to maintain the thrust, and of course now we will have critical mass developing there. So we are hoping that this is this and the next quarter are perhaps a time when things would bottom out. And from then onwards we can start looking up. So that is the overall context in which we can look at the future. Therefore, next year there should be both growth and improvement in profitability. As you know, we are very, very sensitive to revenue given the high operating leverage that we have in this business. On the way up, for every dollar of revenue, we get 60 cents under the line. And for every way down, it hurts the other way around. So that is what we have to kind of manage.
Is there any thoughts on the capex that you would like to take up in, say, year 13, and like how would you look at it?
Requirements I mentioned before, our four platforms of growth are actually fairly mature in terms of capex. And we have made most of the investments already. And right now I think it's a question of execution, execute and implementing them, that capex completely. So we will only have normal capex, so we don't have any major project capex coming up in the next 1 year as well.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for the response, and wish you all the best for the coming entire year, sir.
Thank you very much. We'll need all of that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to hand out the conference to Mr. Vijay Tarani for closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As usual, we benefited a lot from your questioning, and we can see that there is a great expectation for NIIT to rise to the occasion and transform itself. We do hope that the business conditions will back us in this transformational process, and we are looking for your cooperation and support as well. As usual, your questions have helped us to introspect more on what we have achieved and what we can. We will be available to you for individual level discussions as if any one of you will have. And in any case, Kapil Saurabh and the team are available at any point of time to answer any of the questions. Thank you once again for your attention today. I know there are a large number of results, and therefore to have the benefit of your time means a lot to us. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line. Thank you.